Father. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here today and each and every person that's watching us online. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the life of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, we'll take forth the word that we hear, that brings forth life on the inside of us, and go out to the byways and the highways and share the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, and your might, that you be lifted up. Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we just thank you for the anointing of God that's here today. That anointing, we just stir that anointing up. And we thank you if anyone that's here, anyone that's watching, is going through a tough time, Father, we thank you that anointing will saturate them. That anointing will minister to them. That anointing will change them in an instant. We thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's a wonderful day today. I'm excited. Hopefully you're excited. If you're not, you should get excited. Because you know what? God is still on the throne. Amen. In the middle of everything's going on, God's on the throne. Jesus is with us. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he's with us wherever we go. And we can make it. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to start off today and a story that all of you know, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. Daniel chapter 3, Daniel the third chapter, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Daniel the third chapter, starting with the first verse, and it says, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide that he set up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, you talk about being conceited. Making a gold statue of yourself, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. I mean, you know, 90 feet tall is about 3 stories tall. And, you know, I mean, that's pretty conceited. All right, I mean, that even goes further than making a selfie of yourself every day. I mean, we're talking about the ultimate selfie made of gold. That's an expensive selfie. All right, and of course, and I'm just going to go ahead and paraphrase that. You know, the king decided it's not just good enough for me to have a statue, that we're going to play some music and some stuff, and then we're going to have everybody bow down and worship me, because they should. I mean, this guy is conceited, all right? I mean, you think you have some conceited friends, but I mean, this is like, you know, we're going to all worship me. I mean, and worship not just me, but my statue, because it's pretty awesome. All right, so they did that, and almost everybody bowed down. But verse 12 says, but there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. So, see, these aren't just any Jews. These are Jews that have some kind of authority. And, it says, they pay no attention to you, your majesty, and they refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue that you have set up. I mean, these Jews, I mean, they're awful. They're not even going to worship you. And they're not going to worship your golden image. I mean, how mean of those guys. All right. Verse 13 says, then Nebuchadnezzar, the conceited guy, flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him, and they were brought in. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or worship my statue that I've set up? And I will give you one more chance. So I'm, you know, this is the conceited man of a second chance. All right. I'm going to give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I made, and when you hear the sound of musical instruments, but if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. and then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? See, when you start getting conceited in things, I mean, you know, God's going to blow up your world. All right. Verse 16 says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. See, you know, there's one thing about knowing your God and knowing what he's able to do. I mean, they flat out told the king, you know what, throw us in the fiery furnace, our God's going to deliver us. I mean, you know, that's pretty confident. What I want to know is, are you that confident? Are we that confident today? I mean, I know some people that are afraid that God won't deliver you from a virus. But this is, I mean, you know, this is a fiery furnace. I mean, I get it. People have died from the virus, but if you go to a fiery furnace, you will die. Or you should die. Anyway, he goes on to say, he will rescue us from your power. See, the whole thing is all about a power trip. Yeah. It was all about this man deciding, you know, arbitrarily that everyone's going to worship me and my golden image. But he says, he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to your majesty that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. So it doesn't matter what you're going to do. And even if we die, we're going to die with a smile on our face, knowing that our God is a true God. That's called commitment. That's called commitment. Now we know the rest of the story. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and read it because I really like it. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. I know we've seen some people like that sometimes. And he commanded the furnace to be heated up 7 times hotter than usual, which is kind of really stupid. Ever think about that? Do you realize hotter than usual? I mean, just as hot as usual will kill him anyway. 7 times hotter doesn't do any, it doesn't matter, 7 times hotter. If it's going to destroy you, why does it matter? You know, anyway, then he ordered some of the strongest men, which is another one of the stupidest things. He ordered his best soldiers to throw him in. Into the blazing furnace. So they tied him up and threw him in, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. Now I want you to think about that. The flames were so hot that it killed the soldiers as they threw him in. It killed the soldiers. That's how hot it was. I mean, you know, and okay. Just the other day, I went to one of our favorite restaurants called Shogun. It's a Japanese steakhouse. And you know, some of these, our chef actually told us, he really likes the fire. Anyone ever been to those Japanese steakhouses and they have fire and they put stuff down? And sometimes, I mean, it feels so hot that you can kind of almost feel the heat. Well, feeling the heat and dying from the heat is a whole lot different story. All right, these guys died. All right, anyway, so they got thrown into the fiery furnace. Securely tied, they fell into the roaring flames. Verse 24, but suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. Look, Nebuchadnezzar, how did I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. Now, I don't know how you understand, but you know, how this guy would recognize a God or the Son of God or, you know, Jesus. But, I mean, you know, just think amazement. I mean, three guys died throwing people in. Three guys were tied up, but now they're walking around. No big deal, but they're not alone. The fourth man is there, Jesus Christ, the one that will never leave us nor forsake us. He's right there in the middle of the fire helping them through the situation. You know, and it was a tough situation, but it says in verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. See, he changed his tune. You know, it's like some the people I know, you know, when everything's, you know, whatever, they're one way, then all of a sudden they see God and they change their tune. Anyway, he says, come out, come here. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. The high officers and governors and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed and their clothes was not scorched. They didn't even smell a smoke, which is the biggest miracle in the Bible. I tell you what, if you stand next to someone who's smoking and then you walk out, you'll smell a smoke. I mean, used to whenever they allowed smoking in restaurants or whatever, I've sat in the non-smoking section, close to the smoking section, came back and I smelled like smoke. I can't go back to work. People are going to think I'm smoking. They didn't even smell the smoke. Now, I want you to, you know, it's always fun to be around the campfire and things like that. I want you to, next time you're around the campfire, afterwards smell your clothes. You're going to smell like smoke. But you know what? God not only delivered him from the fire, he delivered him from the smoke, which is amazing. Now, the reason I said this is not, you know, to really harp on the fourth man in the fire story, which is an awesome story. The reason I said this is because, you know, I've often thought that this kind of stuff could never happen to us. I mean, you know, we're not going to have somebody make some kind of rule and everyone's going to bow down to him. It's never going to happen. You know, then we read, about 4 weeks ago, according to my notes, Daniel chapter 6, we talk about Daniel in the lion's den and how the king decided that no one will pray to any god except for the king. And the reason he did that, because his advisors, his wicked advisors, didn't throw him in the lion's den. But I'm here to tell you, we're living in a day and age where our freedoms are being taken away from us. And maybe you won't be thrown into a fiery furnace if you won't bow. But there have been consequences for people. You know, and here in Oklahoma, it really hasn't affected us. But you realize, I heard a stat and it really was staggering and it really concerns me. And it should concern all of us that according to the best estimate, that only one third of the churches in America are reopened for services in person. One third. 66% of churches in America do not have people coming to church. 66%. Now, actually, if I don't know a worldwide stat, but if we go around the world, you understand this is a worldwide thing, and there are churches all over. And there might be 66% of the churches all over the world. That's a huge blow to the church. Now, of the churches that are open, I have heard that the stat is, and I was talking to a pastor last night, and he said, well, that fits our church. A stat is only one third of the congregation that was pre-coronavirus is now coming back to church. One third. Some of it's because of the governor mandate, some of it's because of fear. So we have basically a third who are now attending church. Now, thank God for online services and we can, you know, get things online, and that's awesome. All right, but we live in a country where we have freedom of religion and freedom to worship God the way we choose. The way we choose. I mean, I don't know if you studied American history like I did, but the way I understand the reason that our founding fathers came to America was for freedom to religion, to serve God the way we choose. Which means that if I choose to attend a church, I should be able to attend a church regardless of what any person says. I heard of a church in California right now that's getting fined $5,000 for every service that they have. You know what? They're continuing to have service. Because you know what? They said, you know what? Our God is able to provide the money to pay the fines. Hallelujah. You know, but this is something that we need to be in prayer about. You know, because, you know, I understand there's an old adage in church of, you know, God bless me and my family and no more. But, you know, just because it doesn't affect us here in Oklahoma, thank God, our attendance is almost the way it was before the pandemic. We almost have as many people here. Now, I will say this, another thing that's upsetting is that online attendance all over America, you know, at one time, when it first started, everyone was afraid, everyone was concerned about, you know, I need to get a hold of all the God I can get a hold of right now. But online attendance is starting to go down. That means people who were attending church are not even attending online. And, you know, it's not good for the Christian walk. And there have been some people who have been pretty vocal that they don't want churches to meet ever again. Ever. Now, you know, there's a lot of godly doctors and godly scientists. There are. But there's a lot of scientists that don't believe that God exists. And, you know, if people say, well, let's follow the science. I know there's a lot of scientists that would basically, in their own opinions, no one should ever go to church ever. Now, here's something that's even more staggering. You know, thank God for an online presence. Thank God for people being able to watch us online. But do you realize that over 90% of the churches that have an online presence have so because of two companies? Google, who owns YouTube, and Facebook. 90% of the churches, they air today on Google and YouTube. I mean, sorry, YouTube and Facebook. Now, we have those things, but we also have our own internet channel, rhema.tv. Now, here's the thing. We have been reading about how Google and Facebook have been deciding now to put their own opinion on what you say. So at one point in time, you realize if they decide not to air churches, do you realize 90% of the churches will not have a voice? And that's scary. That's scary. Now, I'm not saying the virus is not real. I'm not saying that people haven't gotten sick and some people have died. I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the government is starting to control us. And a lot of times it's not because that, it's because some governor or some mayor decided this is what we're going to do. Not because people voted, not because people whatever. And in some situations, the courts have ruled against that governor or mayor, but in some situations, they have not. That's why it's huge. I mean, the Supreme Court now, I mean, this is a huge deal. You know, but the two reasons why people are not attending churches is because they're told they can't by the government. And two, they're in fear. But we take care of the fear one pretty easy. The Bible says over in Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We shouldn't have to have fear. And from the beginning, we've been talking about faith over fear. You know, fear should not dominate you. So if it's because of fear you're not coming, then no, I get it. Now, there are some people in the vulnerable population, and I'm going to ask that you stay away, but that's not two-thirds of the congregation. All right? Now, here in Rhema, we have people that watch us online all over the world right now. Obviously, they can't even come here. And that's okay as well. And it's okay to watch church online. Nothing wrong with that. But you should be able to have the choice, and you should be able to feel safe to come in person. The Bible talks about not forsaking the assembly ourselves together. All right, but we are living in the last days. And I'm very concerned about what's going on in our nation. But you know what's interesting about it is this book that was written so many years ago. I know this is an iPad, not really a book, all right? But we have books in the iPad, you know. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, from the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it this way. I'm going to start reading so we can get through some stuff I really want to get to. I haven't got to where I wanted to get to yet. This is my introduction. All right. Anyway, we don't have that long. All right. It says this. You should know this, Timothy. So this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. All right. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. How many things have been toppled here recently? Things have been graffitied. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. That was Paul telling Timothy 2,000 years ago or so about what's going to be like at the end times. And you know what? If you look around, you see a lot of those people. You know, unfortunately, we see a lot of those people on TV. And I will say that TV drives the fear. TV media drives the fear. You know, and it's every time you see this, I mean, people are saying, well, you know, this could happen, that can happen. Do you realize that a lot of things could happen? I mean, you know, you could be swimming in the Arkansas River and get bitten by a shark. Well, how's that going to happen? Number one, why are you swimming in the Arkansas River anyway? It's kind of, and how's there a shark in there? I don't know. I actually haven't heard of a shark, but I did hear about someone pulling an alligator out of there. And you know why? Because someone had a pet alligator and they dumped it in the Arkansas River. So I don't know. You know, here's the thing. The world that we live in, I used to, you know, hear people with a lot of what I called conspiracy theories. And I always kind of thought they were crazy. Now I'm beginning to think, maybe you're not so crazy. Because things I thought could never happen in America are happening in America. The land of the free, the home of the brave. I mean, the land that was created to worship God in the way we want to worship God. You know, the one that, you know, we pride ourselves on freedoms. And freedoms have been taken away. And I know it's some people's agenda to take more and more freedoms away. You know, and that's scary. So what do we do? I encourage everyone here, everyone watching online, to read again or read for the first time my grandfather's book called The Believer's Authority. I just read it again last night. And it's time for us as a church. Now, I'm not talking about church, I'm not talking about Rainbow Altar, I'm talking about the church overall. Together, to start taking our authority over this situation. Because it's scary what's happening. And, you know, anyone, if you're my age, I know you did because it was a requirement in high school. But any of you guys read that book, 1984, in high school that you required reading or whatever? I mean, the only reason I read it was because it required reading. And they talked about Big Brother. I'm not talking about the game show Big Brother, okay? I'm talking about Big Brother that's listening to you and all these kind of things and mind control and all these things that sounded so outlandish. You know, when I read it, I mean, now it was 1984, but it was written way, way before 1984. It was basically kind of talking about what's going to happen in 1984, but when I read it, it was after 1984. It was like 1985 or 6. And those things hadn't happened, but a lot of those things that we read about are happening today. You know, it is interesting if you decide to Google anything, like let's just say that you maybe are thinking about getting a new car. Do you realize if you Google a certain car company, the next time you go on Facebook, you'll have advertisements for that car company. Now that's kind of scary, but what's even more scarier is an individual, one of my Facebook friends, and I've heard, and every person I've told about, they're like, oh, it happens to me all the time. Him and his wife had decided that they were considering purchasing something. I can't remember what it was. They never Googled it yet. They hadn't gone online yet. They were just talking about it one night. The next morning, this gentleman went to get on Facebook, and when he got on Facebook, the very product that they were looking for, talking about, showed up in his Facebook feed. Now, you don't think someone's listening? You know, and it's our fault. We carry our personal listening devices with us everywhere we go. Hey, Siri. Now she's talking to me. Actually, I changed my Siri now to, now this one's talking to me. It says, I'm not sure I understand. All right. Well, I don't understand either. I changed my Siri voice to Australian because I thought it sounded cooler. Sometimes I have trouble hearing the directions, though, because they're understanding. Anyway, it is what it is. You know, the Bible talks about being all things, all men. The believer's authority. We need to understand our authority in Christ Jesus. Understand what kind of authority we have and take our authority. You know, it's one thing to have authority, another thing to take authority. Sometimes we have authority, but we don't take it. All right, I'm going to read a couple. Let's go with me to a couple of scriptures. And like I said, I encourage each and every one of us to get a hold of that book. And if you're watching us online, you can go to the Kindle store or the Apple iBook store and get a digital copy. Or you can go to rhema.org and order the copy, and we'll send one to you. If you're here, you can go to the bookstore and buy one. But I want to encourage each and every one of you, and I'm sure most of you have read that book. I encourage you to read it again. In fact, I want to encourage you to read it again every I want to say once a year, maybe five times a year might be good for you. Because you know what? The more we hear it, the more it actually we understand it. Because sometimes we hear things one time, but faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. But you know, also too, I want to say this, because sometimes, you know, we get mad at certain individuals or certain government officials or scientists or whatever, and we try to blame them for what's going on. I'm here to tell you it's not their fault. I don't care if they even created the mess, it's still not their fault. It's only one person's fault, and we're going to read about it in Ephesians 6:10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." We talked about that not too long ago. "That you may be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places." We're not wrestling against people. We're not wrestling against, you know, governors and senators and mayors and scientists or whatever. We're wrestling against the powers from the devil. So quit putting your eyes on a certain man or a certain woman, and put your eyes on the author of all this situation. That's the devil himself, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what we need to come against right now. We need to take authority over the devil, because the devil has no right. He has no authority. In the name of Jesus, 2,000 years ago, after Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he went down and he took away the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he has given us that authority now. And we have the authority. And we'll get onto that, you know, in a minute. But it's not about governors. It's not about senators. It's not about presidents. It's not about any of those people. It's about the devil. And see, sometimes we're focusing our attention on the wrong thing. You know, maybe you have decided that this person's the Antichrist and that person's the Antichrist and whatever. I don't care. Because I'm gonna tell you, the Antichrist is the Antichrist, and that's the devil. Satan, Lucifer, the father of lights. That's the devil. All right? Verse 13, it says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, we keep standing." You know, when everybody else is bowing, we keep standing. When everybody else is bowing down, we have to stand. You've got to be willing to stand and understand our rights. Now, I want to show you something that's pretty awesome. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. Ephesians 1:19 says this, "And what is exceedingly greatness of his power toward us who believe?" Exceedingly greatness of power toward us who believe. I'm the believer here. "According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion." All right? So we understand that Jesus is seated by the Heavenly Father, far above all these principalities, powers, far above all these things. And every name that is named, and not only in this age, but also which is to come. So every demonic being, every demonic thing, both now and forevermore, is under his feet. Has no power. Now it goes on to say, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. See, he's the head and we're the body. Do you realize that we, the body, I mean, you know, your body, your natural body does whatever your head says. You realize that my head has to, first of all, tell my hand to move before it moves. My hand doesn't just move on its own. It doesn't go that way. All right. Anyway, to be able to head over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Going to the next chapter, chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says this, chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, it made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together. Understand, he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show you the exceedingly riches of his grace, his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So the Bible says that Jesus is far above in heaven, but he also says that when we are in Christ, we're also seated with him far above. That means all principalities and powers and all those things that are under our feet have no control over us. Now, if we'll get that visual image, see, we're not walking around. If we don't have what we call the mind of Christ, we are walking around. But once you put on the mind of Christ and you put on your spiritual goggles and you begin to see like Jesus sees, you see yourself seated far above. And those things that are there, you have dominion over those things, because sometimes it's really hard to think you have dominion whenever things are on your equal level. Yeah. Yeah. But things are not on your equal level. You're not equal. You're greater than. Not greater than and equal to, like in the math problem. Greater than, because Jesus is greater than anything you can ever think of. That's my number one equation. I write that all the time. Jesus is greater than anything. Well, guess what? We're seated together in heavenly places with him in Christ, as long as we have the mind of Christ. Now, when we don't have the mind of Christ, then we look like a natural man and we see things from a different perspective. So what we have to do is see things from his perspective, not from yours. And when we see things from his perspective, it makes it a whole lot easier to come against the devil. And when you see things from your perspective, I mean, I know a lot of people are like, man, they're afraid of the devil. They're afraid of this and they're afraid of that. But you know what? We have all authority in the name of Jesus. That at the mention of his name, the Bible says that demons have to tremble. That's pretty awesome. Demons tremble. Now, you know, the ultimate authority that we see comes from a police officer. What do you mean? Well, whenever you leave this campus, although sometimes they use a light, but here recently, the officer's been going out, standing there, and he puts his hand up, and by putting his hand up, he stops 2,000-pound automobiles. It's like Superman. Because the officer puts his hand up. Now, is that hand really awesome? No. It's because there's authority in his hand that has been granted to him by the city of Broken Arrow. And whatever city you're in, if that officer says stop, you know, you stop. Now, you realize it's not hard to say, well, I don't care, I'm going to run over him anyway. And maybe, but you're going to end up in a prison cell, you know, for doing that. But see, we have a greater authority because the authority that we have comes from Christ. It comes from Christ Jesus. And we have the authority to stop whatever the devil's trying to do. You know, but not just what he's trying to do to you, but what he's trying to do to this world, this nation, The Bible talks about praying for our nations, praying for those in our authority. And you know, and that's pretty big, because in Daniel chapter 6, it was the advisors that advised the king wrong. It's why he made the rule that why Daniel ended up in the lion's den. Because behind every governor, behind every senator, behind every president, there's people who advise them. And those are the people we need to be praying for. The people that are in their ear on a daily basis. Because sometimes it's really easy to say, to ignore your advisors, but after a while you'll think, well, maybe that's not a bad idea. If you hear something long enough, sometimes you're like, well, it's not that big a deal. But it is a big deal. But you know, if we don't take our authority, I'm afraid where our country might end up. You know, I know people laugh about it and said, well, you know, that will never happen. This will never happen. I never thought that every church in America would be shut down. You know, I never thought, you know, all the situation. Never thought about it. You know, and the thing about it is, I will say that a lot of times we don't think about it, but when it happens, well, we'll just go with the flow. You know, whatever happens, yeah, we're living in the last days. Praise God that one day the Lord's going to come back and we're going to go to heaven, live in that streets of gold. Till that day, we're just going to get by. No, we can't do that. We're going to decide we're going to take our authority. We're going to stand when everybody else is bowing. We're going to choose to take a stand. We're going to choose to do what's right. We're going to choose to serve God. You know, and if it becomes illegal to come to church, we're going to choose to come to church. Heard a story about some of our Rhema graduates. They were ministering in a certain country and at a church service. And one of the persons said, you know, well, is there something that I maybe shouldn't mention? Because, you know, that might get you in trouble. And if they come in here, he goes, no, if the government comes in here or the people come in here, they're going to kill us all anyway, no matter what you say. So the fact that they were in church means they could be risking their life. And it didn't matter what they said. It wasn't about, we're going to censor what you say. It's about, we don't care what you say. You're just assembling together and say you're Christians. Good enough for us. Good enough for us. Now, see, you know, we haven't seen too much oppression toward the gospel, you know, in America until recent times. But you see oppression in other countries, you know, where the rulers decide, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and I'm the king, I can do whatever I want to do, basically, situation. But I'm concerned. But I'm also concerned that a lot of us are not taking our authority or even caring about it. Sometimes it's because we might live in a state that's a little more free. And praise God for our governors. Praise God for our mayors. Praise God, you know, for the freedoms that we have in Oklahoma. And I'm going to tell you that that obviously my son races race cars, and I've gone to racetracks in Oklahoma and in Texas. And I tell you what, you wouldn't even know there's a coronavirus that existed. I mean, these people are acting normal. We're not talking about new normal. We're talking about normal. And that's what I want to have. I don't want to have any new normal. I like new stuff, but I don't like new normals. I like normal. I like being have freedoms. And the only way to do that is take authority over the devil. This virus, you know, I don't care if you think, well, this virus came from China. No, it didn't. It came from the devil. Maybe it was created in China, but it came from the devil. It's not about the people. It's about the devil. All right, I got to hurry. We got 5 minutes. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We've got about three more scriptures. Luke chapter 10, verse number 19 says this. Jesus talking, red letters. Behold, I give you the authority. See, I mean, he said, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now, some people read this, they go, okay, we can walk on snakes and you know, scorpions. But then he put the and here. He says, and over all the power of the enemy. Not over some of the power. Not, okay, the devil's going to have some power, but you know, oh, I'm going to give you a little bit of power too. No, he says, I have given you the authority over all the power of the enemy. And listen to this. And it says, and nothing. I said nothing. Nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, Jesus said that. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He said, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Any power of the enemy. And nothing shall hurt you. Matthew 18:18 says this. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So if there's things we need to bind, we need to say, right now, we bind this COVID-19 virus. We bind any attacks from the devil that's trying to keep us from having our freedoms of religion. You know, and all kinds of other things. And then first it goes on, verse 19 says, and again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So what's it saying? It says we need to come together as a church family, you know, as a Rainbow family, as a church family, and start binding some things that need to be bound. And when you bind them here, they're bound in heaven, and we've been given the authority to bind those things. So whatever we say, because see, it's Jesus doesn't want those things to happen, but we have the authority. We have it's our authority. It's been given to us. Been given to us. And we have to bind it. We have the power over the enemy. All right, I got 2 minutes. A couple more scriptures. And all of you probably know these scriptures, but I want to read these scriptures because, you know, sometimes we know scriptures, but we don't act like we know them. Because if we act like we know them, we would act differently whenever situations goes on. 1 John 4:4 says this, you are of God, little children. We're children of God. And have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So you know what? We need to act like an overcomer because we are an overcomer because the overcomer lives on the inside of us. And when we face a situation, we need to know that we've already overcame that situation because he's already overcome that situation. And we have the power in the name of Jesus. And we have the authority. See, it's one thing to have the power, but another thing to have the authority to use the power. All right? I mean, you know, you might have a gun, which has a lot of power. But if you don't have the authority to shoot somebody, if you shoot someone, you're going to end up in prison. But if you have the authority, certain people have the authority to be able to shoot. So they have the power and authority. You know, we have both. We have been given the power and given the authority. And if we don't use the power or authority, it's our problem. A lot of these things that are happening are our problem because we haven't taken authority that we should take. And when we see people's rights being taken away, we don't take authority over that because it doesn't affect us. It does affect you. I mean, the fact whenever they say, well, people in California, they can't sing in church, that affects me. I mean, you know, they can't sing or they can't this or they can't that. Not they can't physically sing, they're not allowed to. And, you know, these things could never happen, we think. All right. James 4:7 says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you know what? If you don't resist the devil, he's not going to flee. Sometimes our people say, well, you know, this has happened and that's happened because you haven't resisted him. He just keeps on coming on in. Your door's still open. You know, hopefully at nighttime, most of you probably, you probably all shut your doors. You know, if not, you might get flies in if you don't have some kind of screen door. But most of you probably shut your door and lock it. Why? Because you don't want the bad guys getting in. But you know, a lot of times when it comes to our spiritual life, we open the door wide open and says, okay, devil, whatever. It's time to shut the door. Devil, you have no right, you have no authority. In the name of Jesus, you must leave. You can't bother me. You have no right, you have no authority. Anyway, last scripture, 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. And it goes on. All right, the devil's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know what? You're going to decide he's not going to devour you. Now, roaring lions are pretty scary. If you're standing in front of a roaring lion, you know, most people would run because it's uncomfortable. But just because it's uncomfortable, just because the devil's roaring, and the way he roars is he uses people to roar against you, then you have to decide that he may not hurt me because I have the authority to resist him in the name of Jesus. Now, I have some dogs at my house, and I have one dog. If you walk in my, you know, my door, and he doesn't know you, he's probably going to bark like heavy. I don't know if he'll ever bite you, but he'll scare you. I have never seen him bite anybody. You know, and that's how sometimes the devil is. He likes to bark, but he has no authority to bite if you know your authority. You know, because barks are not going to do anything, but bites can hurt. And it's time for us as the church to start taking authority. I mean, I know many of you, probably almost everyone in this room has probably read that book. But reading a book and doing what the book says is two different things. And really, all that book is interpreting what the Bible says, that we have been seated with Christ in heavenly places, and all things are under our feet. And we have the authority. And we have the authority to bind these things on the earth. And we need to start binding more of these things. We need to start doing something. Because I've heard people say, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, number one, like the Bible talks about us getting together with other like-minded people, like-minded Christians, and praying. Now, you know, we can be like-minded and be all over the world. I mean, but this stuff is affecting all of us. And we need to come together in one accord. And decide we're going to take our authority because the devil has no right. You know, and I know right now it's this, but you know what? Tomorrow's going to be that. It's going to be, there's always something the devil's going to try. He's going to continue to try to bring discord among you because he knows the time is short. And it's time for us to take our authority in the name of Jesus. Let's all stand up. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now. Thank you, Father, right now for helping us to take our authority in Christ Jesus over all the wiles of the enemy. And when we come against this virus, we come against all the things that are trying to destroy our government, our nation. We come against all this violence. We come against all this discord. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we bind all these things and we command these things to stop. We thank you, Father, that all this has to stop now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the peace that passes all understanding that shall overtake us. And in the name of Jesus, We thank you, Father, that we claim the 91st Psalm over each and every person under the sound of my voice. And we thank you, Father, that no evil thing shall come near our dwelling place. And we thank you that nothing shall harm us. And we thank you for helping us take our place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, maybe you're here today or you're watching us online and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't know him as my Lord, and so I don't have that kind of authority. So if you're here today and you've never been saved, or maybe you want to rededicate yourself to God, or if you're watching us online, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to forgive me for my sins. The Bible says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, I will be saved. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me of my sins. And we thank you, Father, for giving me that authority. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer for your first time or you rededicate your life and you're here in this room, I want to ask you to find one of these ushers in a red shirt and we'll get you some material. If you're watching us online, I want to encourage you to write us at partnerservice@rhema.org and let us know that you prayed that prayer and we have some stuff we want to give to you. But the main thing I want you to do, not just this week, not this just month, not just today, but every day, I want you to take authority. You know what? And I don't want you to take authority one time. I want you every day. Every day. I want to give you some homework. Every day, we need to be praying for this nation. And we need to be taking authority, first of all, over the virus. Secondly, over all the powers of the enemy that's trying to destroy this nation. Every day. Every day. Every day. And when things seem not to be coming down, we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we see because we know our authority through Christ Jesus. And we keep praying and we keep believing and we take our place and we take our authority. And if you don't have that book, I encourage you to go to the bookstore and get a hold of that book. Or maybe you had that book, but you gave it to some friend because they needed it. They needed to read it. But you need to read it multiple times. Amen. Well, praise God. Don't forget tonight, 6 p.m. right here. Or if you're watching us online, we'll be online there. God bless you guys. Give everybody an air hug, an air high five, and we'll see you tonight.